It's AMMA breaking news with Slim.
Top news story this week, Colby Covington will not be unifying his interim championship belt with Tyron Woodley's welterweight championship of the world. Instead, the fight has gone to top contender Kamaru Usman. These two will meet at UFC 235 in March, and we actually have Colby in here in studio. He's come to join us and talk about getting snuffed for the welterweight championship. Colby?
Fuck you, Slim.
All right. Well, I just wanted to kind of know your thoughts on, you know, getting snuffed.
Well, listen. First off, Dana White is an absolute prick. If he doesn't give me my title shot, I'm leaving the UFC.
Oh.
And I'm sick of you guys having me on this stupid-ass fucking podcast.
But you voluntarily came here.
Fuck you.
And that was Colby Covington with an update on where he's at. We now return to our regularly scheduled A&A MMA. Hi, it's A&A MMA, and we are back.
2019, you fucking worms.
Fresh
episode 73.
Fresh.
Almost three quarters of the way to a century mark.
Been doing this forever.
Jeez.
Worms. Century mark.
Fucking worms.
fucking worms.
Worm cakes.
Jager bombs.
What's up, Slim?
What's
Happy
going
New
on,
Year.
Dude? Yeah, you too. I haven't seen you in shit since last year.
Saw it coming.
But it has been 2 weeks. What have you been doing?
Just big chilling, man. Just big chilling.
Big chilling.
I don't know how else to put it.
Same. We had Jeff Hughes on the main show last week.
El Jefe. The king himself.
We got him a metal chair this time.
Needed that.
Yeah. And he did very well.
Fall-proof chair.
Right. He didn't have to land in that 3-point stance.
Nice.
He was cool.
Nice.
Yeah. It was fun. We talked about shitting ourselves. Well, Sean did a lot.
Has Jeff? Why is that so funny, Sean?
I didn't laugh. He laughed.
Oh, I thought you were cracking up about that.
No, but it happened.
That's awesome. What
that
else did you guys talk about? Any big news or anything?
You know, just a little rumor.
Yeah, Slim Wani was trying to get the scoop.
Yeah.
You couldn't get it out of him?
It can't be confirmed yet.
Because it's not official yet,
right,
but
right.
We can say
speculation
is currently in the works, possibly, mm-hmm. maybe,
right,
for Jeff Hughes to make his UFC debut against Daniel Spitz at ESPN Plus 4, or UFC on ESPN Plus 4.
Right. 8 months after his first Dana White contract earn.
The first one, what about the second one? Or the third one?
His only contract earned. Oh, my God. But like I said, about 8 months, he hasn't fought or anything. So I asked him how he's been, like, keeping up because he quit his job and everything. And
right.
He was like, if I would have known that it would have taken this long to get a fight, I would have just kept working. I was like, I respect that. But he's, like, a math teacher in seventh grade right now in some school.
Jeff Hughes is teaching people math.
Yeah, and he's doing, like, recess, too.
Oh, for the fights?
What?
Imagine, like, some little kids just
Jeff Montagotti,
bro. Oh, my gosh. Or I was thinking, like, remember when that police officer straight fucking German suplexed that kid in
right.
the hallway?
Mm.
Jeff Hughes just yamming somebody, bro.
Oh,
that'd
shit.
Be awesome.
No, he's like a, yeah, I don't know. But he said he really enjoys it. He said after all this is done, he might go back and, like, become a teacher.
Aw.
So
Jeff
that was really
Hughes,
cool, yeah.
Giving back to the community
yeah,
with his knowledge.
Right. Check out the episode. It was Slazzy Weather Media, main show episode 284. But yeah.
Cool. How's that?
Who's 74?
How's that rash you had going, Slim?
The rash. I had a rash.
Just kidding.
What the fuck. All right, I did have some topics last week that I bounced off Jeff's head. I want to bounce them off yours.
You ain't bouncing nothing off my head.
First being Anthony Pettis calling out Stephen Wonderboy Thompson.
Yeah.
Why?
Pettis
fought at 145, and he looked like he should be there. Him at 170, I can't even picture that.
Apparently, Duke Rufus thinks that he has the playbook and experience to beat Stephen Thompson. That's his theory behind that.
If he was like 2 inches taller, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think that's stylistically the best matchup for Anthony Pettis. I think he'd try to go in there, get it close, and make it bloody. But I don't know, man. That'd be a really interesting first fight in that division, though.
It'd definitely be interesting.
I don't think he will get that high of opposition, though.
Right.
If he does go up to that weight class.
Fair. So what do you make of this whole Colby mess with Kamaru Usman, the Nigerian nightmare?
Well,
did you see their beef
on
Twitter?
Oh, yeah. Tyron's and okay, yeah, I saw that back and forth, which had me pretty confused because Tyron was like talking all that shit, and then like 3 days later ended up signing the contract.
Right.
So that was weird to me. But in regards to the actual situation where it was canceled for Colby getting the championship, hey man, it's an ever changing sport. You never know. Nothing's ever guaranteed until that contract's signed. Mm. Which they didn't have a contract signed.
Right.
And, I mean, just because Dana White says you're next in line doesn't mean that you are, bro.
Right.
Somebody can do something different to change people's minds. And I think people want to see Kamaru Usman versus Tyron Woodley instead.
No, it's a great matchup. I just think the beef build up would have made it that much bigger
and
than
really,
this fight.
And really, they're fighting to see who can kick Colby's ass.
Right.
So if I was him, I'd just sit back. And fucking let them do that, you know, if he's all big and bad like he says he is. I let him sit back, see who the best man is, and then go in there and try to beat him.
No, the fight was going to happen regardless at some point.
Right.
But still, I think Colby should have been the first to get his ass beat. But not saying that Woodley's going to beat
Kamaru's
ass.
Allegedly, he wasn't ready,
you know,
and he didn't sign the contract when he had the chance.
True. But then he went on all the MMA shows in the last couple weeks and said, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I'm sure he's saying that now, that he's ready to go, but when that contract was put in front of him, he probably wasn't ready to go.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So, yeah, that's my take on that.
Okay. Anthony Smith getting thrown in there with a title shot with John Jones.
I think that's the right matchup right now, because what they're probably going to try... John Jones said he wants to fight 3 times next year. First fight, a great one, would be a fun one like Anthony Smith, but... I mean, if you know, obviously Anthony Smith has the hot hand right now, but come on, guys.
Right.
He's not better than Alexander Gustafsson. I mean, he doesn't, it's not going to be the best matchup for Anthony Smith. I mean, John Jones.
Who knows, man? Who knows?
Yeah,
same height.
Of course, who knows?
And he might have the same.
He's the Lionheart, bro,
yeah.
But at the same time, John Jones is the best of all time, bro. I mean.
He's going to have to work on that cardio.
So I'm just interested to see about that, but I think that's a perfect first fight for him because, you know, he's the heavy favorite. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows it. And if he wins this, I think he'll be fighting the winner of Ozdemir versus Dominic Reyes.
Yeah.
For the next title shot at light heavyweight.
I feel that as well. I agree, man.
And then after that, try to get his DC fight. If DC really wants to fight or might fight 3 times, like his coach said.
I want to see him with a Stipe fight.
Right.
Something like that. Something
but
different.
I think if DC will try to do, like, yeah, he'll try to fight Stipe if he beats Stipe. I mean, John, you have to fight John.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that's inevitably going to happen no matter what.
But for the moment, though, I like that we're just kind of, we're getting away from, like, super fight with that. Like, we're back into the, okay, this guy's worked his way up the ranks. You got to take him on.
Right.
Like, he's earned his shot.
Right.
And there's been too much super fight talk lately. And, like, you know, going up a division. Like, just work your way up. Get the belt. Mm-hmm. Usman's doing it. Anthony Smith has done it now, too. So, I like that. There's, like, a bit more sport to it right now, starting off 2019, than, you know, the money fight era of 2018 was.
Right. So. I agree. So, since we kind of briefly touched on it, let's just quickly run down UFC 232, since we never got to tell our good people the results.
Okay.
We'll keep it pretty quick here for you guys, just kind of let you know who fought, what the result was, and maybe give a couple takes. So, in the first fight, which was fought at a catchweight of 137 pounds, because Montel Jackson was overweight by 1 pound, taking on Brian Kelleher, Montel Jackson got his very first submission of his career. He actually locked up a Darce 1 minute and 40 seconds into round number one, which is actually the second fastest Darce choke in UFC history.
Wow. That's wild.
Brian Kelleher now moves to 3-3 in the UFC. You know, tough loss for him, which, you know, that was a pretty tough matchup for him.
For
the taller striker in
Montel Jackson, but hey, you know, he's shown that he does have he's susceptible to getting submitted, and Montel Jackson did his his homework, and he got it done. So he moves to 7-1. He's now 1-1 in the UFC, and yeah, what a great finish for him to go in there and get back on track.
100%. In the next fight at the welterweight division, we had Curtis Millender taking on Sair Bahadurzada.
Yeah.
Sair was very hyped up for this. At the weigh-ins, he was getting in his face, and I don't think I like him anymore.
Oh, wow.
I found out in the cage he was yelling at him, "Fuck America!" while he was getting his ass beat.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, if that's how you feel, whatever, man. But Curtis
yelled back, "Fuck Afghanistan, man."
Yeah, he put the paws on him, and it was a tough fight. I mean, yeah. It was definitely a pretty close fight. But Curtis
shocked me. He looked really good.
Oh, what do you mean, dude? He always looks like that. That's just his toughest opponent he's faced.
That's what I mean. Just teed off.
Yeah. He's an amazing striker, dude. He's very technical, and he picks his shots.
Looked very good.
So Curtis Millender defeated Sair Bahadurzada via unanimous decision. One judge had it 30-27. The other two judges had it 29-28, all for Curtis Millender.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next fight. In the middleweight division, an upset of sorts.
I would say so.
So Bevin Lewis coming in with, you know, so much hype behind him with a very tough first fight in Uriah Hall. And man, Uriah Hall still has just
everything.
Just lethal explosion, lethal power. I mean, dude's scary. And he showed everybody he still got it. Don't sleep on Uriah Hall.
Yeah, he was getting worked those first two rounds. Bevin was going crazy with the body shots and the kicks. And Uriah was just kind of just waiting for his moment. And eventually he got it in the third round.
I mean, Uriah, his last two fights have been against some of the best prospects in the division. So
I really think he can do that to anyone.
Oh, absolutely.
He's got them in the right spot.
Absolutely. Uriah Hall is, I mean, you can never count him out.
Mm.
He's amazing. So an absolutely stunning KO punch by Uriah Hall. I don't know how he didn't get a performance of the night victory. I guess everybody else who got him were definitely deserving. But Uriah Hall, man, with an absolutely stunning knockout finish over Bevin Lewis. 1 minute and 32 seconds into the third round.
Right. This next fight took place in the bantamweight division.
Yep.
We had Nathaniel Wood going up against Andre Yule, Mr. Highlight.
Yeah, so Nathaniel Wood, man, he has been known to get his wins done by rear naked choke. He has, let me count here, 3 before this one. So, you know, you could have definitely expect what he was trying to do. He was trying to get on the ground. you know, Yule's definitely a really good striker, but Nathaniel Wood definitely had the upper hand when they got to the ground. And
dude, listen to these stats. 342 total strikes. 256 were on the ground.
Wow.
And he got 4 of 6 takedowns, 2 knockdowns, and 2 submission attempts.
Wow. Yeah.
Just complete display of mastery.
So Nathaniel Wood now 2-0 in the UFC, starting out really hot. 15-3 overall. He has earned 13 of his 15 career victories by stoppage, and he's now had both of his UFC wins by submission. So, I mean, absolutely amazing by Nathaniel Wood. Andre Yule drops to 1-1 in the UFC, 13-6 overall.
I like Wood though. He'll be back.
Yeah,
he's exciting still.
Definitely,
but Nathaniel Wood is just another level.
Yeah, absolutely amazing prospect. His nickname is the Prospect. So,
right,
we'll see, man.
When does the prospect become the prodigy? Speaking of prodigies.
Oh, that was the early preliminary card on UFC Fight Pass.
Like I said, speaking of prodigies, we have BJ Penn coming back. What were you doing, BJ? Don't get in that cage.
Going up against... I got offered $150,000, so.
Oh, well, go get your beating. Yeah. Going up against Ryan Hall, who, as we mentioned last time we recorded, hasn't fought in 2 years either.
Yeah, but the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt showed exactly why a lot of people don't want to fight him.
Right.
So the whole thing about Ryan Hall is really the fact that he's not that big of a name at all, but he's so dangerous.
Yeah.
He hasn't lost since his very first fight, and... I mean, dude.
I hope he sticks around. Like, he made beating BJ look easy. My friend, was it Ian Army?
an Imanari rule.
Imanari rule.
Yeah.
And grabbed BJ's, I think it was his left leg. BJ thought he was going for the right leg, so tried to move out of it and went into it on accident.
Right into a heel hook and just, oh my
crazy.
Goodness.
BJ? What are you doing in there, BJ? And he's technically not retired yet.
I didn't know that Ryan Hall got famous for a viral video where he was in a pizza shop and ended up murking some like massive dude.
For real?
Yeah, I guess he like gave him a double leg and then mounted him and just choked him.
Jesus.
Like literally choked him to sleep until the police came.
Nice. Good for him.
Go Ryan Hall.
Right. I'm trying to see him again.
So he actually did win Performance of the Night for that, and he got 2018 Submission of the Year by MMA Fighting Magazine, who was, you know, actually where Ariel Helwani got his start. So
right. Interesting.
MMAfighting.com. Go check out their awards. Or you could also check out the A&A Amy's, our last show.
I've seen awesome. A lot of other award shows that went on after us who were taking similar picks. I'm weird. Not suggesting foul play. I'm just saying the facts. That's all I'm saying.
Stop copying us.
Right. We're fucking, God, we're fucking good. Anyway, on to the next fight. Douglas Silva de Andrade going up against Petr Yan. Like we said, Petr Yan was voted to be the prospect of the year in 2018 for the A&Amys. Or was it Breakout Fighter?
Neither.
I swear he was on there.
He was a nominee.
That's what I meant, yeah.
Oh, he was a nominee.
He was nominated, yeah.
Best debuting fighter.
That's what it was. And he showed why. Jesus Christ. He destroyed Douglas Silva de Andrade, who I mentioned the day before in the weigh-ins looked very drained.
Mm-hmm.
He did. And definitely. Yeah, man, Petr just completely teeing off on him in this fight.
Took an absolute beating.
Pretty sure the corner threw in the towel.
Yeah, Silva de Andrade's corner, actually, after the second round, tossed in the white towel, called it a night, because he was just taking a beating, and there was no stopping what was happening.
No. Not at all.
So, Petr Yan, with an absolutely amazing performance, shows why a lot of people are just shaking in their boots to fight him in the bantamweight division. One of the best prospects coming up. Definitely in the bantamweight division.
For sure.
And also in all of UFC.
For
Watch
sure.
Watch out for Petr Yan. He's going to get a big... I think he already has a fight.
Another one scheduled?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. I think he filled in for someone, but I can't remember who.
Let me find this real quick.
That does sound right.
Petr Yan will be fighting John Dodson at UFC Prague, which is going to be UFC on ESPN Plus 3.
Nice.
Yeah.
What do you think about this ESPN Plus stuff? So, like, this weekend, the fights are going to be on...
Already got my subscription, by the way.
I'm going to sign up Friday, because I'm broke. Nice. I don't want to charge any... so, the Fight Pass prelims, or the ESPN Plus Pass prelims, will be on first. Then it jumps to ESPN.
Right.
Then it jumps back to ESPN Plus. So, you got to go from your app to your TV to your app?
Well, like on my Roku or whatever, I have the ESPN, like my ESPN app, like there's no ESPN Plus app on your phone.
Right.
It's just ESPN.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure I will be able to watch, like, I don't know. I use all my stuff the same way, my Hulu and
gotcha.
It's all pretty much just like the same on my mobile device and on my Roku.
Okay.
Super easy.
Well, Hulu's different because I'm pretty sure ESPN, you have to have like a TV subscription.
Mm-hmm.
Which we might be able to sign into mine.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to check that out.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I don't know how...
Can you get it on your PlayStation? ESPN app?
I think so.
If not, I'll bring my Xbox.
But yeah, I mean, that's tough. It's just going to be streaming from now on.
I mean...
It's not on cable television.
Some of them will be. That's the thing. Like the Fight Nights. Those will be on ESPN.
Just regular ESPN.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they're just stacking the ESPN Plus cards to like.
Man, it's gonna have a real different feel to it. I'm telling you that right now.
I know.
The whole production's gonna be totally different.
Da-na-na, da-na-na.
Yeah. So I mean, just be ready to see some new stuff in 2019. I'm excited. It's gonna be a fresh new look for the UFC, and I absolutely love Fox. But
it also makes you wonder how the vulgarity of the sport will come to be. Since ESPN's owned by Disney?
I mean...
Like, are there going to be some, fuck you, Conor McGregor, you're taking everything I work for. I'm going to fight your fucking ass.
Yeah, I mean, they know what they're signing up for. I'm sure they can't censor the UFC. I mean, they can do it as much as they want to. I mean, they already try on FS1. It'll be the same thing, I think.
Okay. Fair enough.
But, yeah, Peter Yan just signed his new 4-fight deal with the UFC. Nice. And,
fight lined up.
It's going to be his 4th UFC appearance in 8 months.
Wow. Crazy.
Active.
What a dog.
So, a great performance by him. And, yeah, moving on to the next fight in the women's featherweight division.
Luis, you're so big. Is that Salem? That
might be Salem. We had Megan Anderson going up against Kat Zingano. This one was a little bit weird.
Very weird. The first ever eye poke stoppage by toe.
Is that true? Do you know that for sure?
I don't.
Okay. Don't make up stuff.
I'm sorry. I'll Google it. Tell them how it went down.
So, yeah, I mean, Megan Anderson, with her lengthy self, threw a head kick and actually scraped the cornea of Kat Zingano with her toe. Ouchie. Put it right in her eye socket. So instantly, Kat Zingano just turned around and kind of ran away, which, I mean, that's a stoppage victory. So Mark Goddard called the fight, and Kat Zingano apparently... I actually am going to go ahead and Google this.
All I'm seeing is about this fight, so I'm pretty sure it's the first one. Of a toe eye poke stoppage.
Server busy? What?
What are you trying to look up?
Kat Zingano's eye, like the latest on it.
I think she's okay. I think I saw something about that. What are you doing?
Yeah. I don't got
well, anything. She ain't blind. I know that.
Okay, that's cool. She thought she lost her eye, but I mean, everything's good. Gravy with her eye, apparently. So that's good news. If I get any other further updates, I will let you know. But yeah, Megan Anderson.
I'm upset, though. I really want to see how this fight was going to play out.
Oh, yeah, it was going to be interesting. But I mean, hey, stuff like this does happen in MMA. So maybe they will run it back once Kat Zingano gets healthy. I'm pretty sure they already talked about it, and right. Megan Anderson said that she's willing to give Kat another fight. So, yeah, Megan Anderson with the 1 minute and 1 second knockout in the first, well, TKO in the first round over Kat Zingano.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next fight, we have in the heavyweight division, Andre the Pitbull Arlovsky going up against Walt Big Ticket Harris.
This one, I thought Walt was going to dominate by wrestling. That was not the case. But very close split decision. Andre ended up taking that one. I don't know. I don't know about this fight.
All right. Well, it was a pretty close fight back and forth, really. Pretty weird scorecards, though. One judge had it 30-27 for Andre Arlovsky, while the two other judges had it 29-28. For Walt Harris, I definitely agree with the 29-28 for Walt Harris. I can definitely see maybe a 29-28 for Andre Arlovsky, but definitely not a 30-27. Very outrageous, I'd say.
Very strange.
But yeah, Walt Harris defeated the Pitbull, Andre Arlovsky, via split decision. And that was your preliminary card on Fox Sports 1.
This next fight was a banger.
Oh, man.
Chad Money Mendez going up against Alexander the Great Volkanovski. This fight was trending on Twitter.
Oh, really?
The day after I sent you that. Because they both looked so much alike.
That's funny.
They're literally like the same height, same weight, same body type, same haircut. Like that, people could have had a hard time telling them apart on the internet. Apparently,
that's funny. Well, yeah. I mean, it was a hell of a fight.
Right. Both fighters got rocked back and forth in the first round. Alexander was able to keep it together a little bit more and come back and rock Chad Money. Yeah.
Sorry, what?
Said he was able to hold it together and come back and rock Chad Money.
Oh, definitely. Chad Mendez was getting the better of Volkanovski in the first round, but, dude, Volkanovski absolutely weathered that storm, and, dude, he's a problem.
Literally. Like, where does he go from here? He said, Max Holloway, look out, I'm coming for you. He's number 10 right now. Or did that change? That probably should have changed.
But yeah, he has won his last 16 fights now.
Wow.
So.
He's number 4. Oh, no. He might be next for Holloway.
Yeah. Yeah. And like he said, he might be a rough matchup for Holloway. But honestly.
That's Holloway.
I think the toughest matchup for Holloway is going to be Zabit. But we'll see.
He's still got a couple more fights. Maybe that happens for the end of the year, though. I truly believe that will happen.
Possibly. Definitely.
At the rate contenders are going, winning like 3 fights in their top 5.
We'll see. So, yeah, he hasn't lost since May of 2013. His four-fight UFC winning streak in the featherweight division is now tied with three others as the second longest streak in the division behind Max Holloway, who has 12, of course. And then, yeah, he has earned all three of his UFC stoppage victories by knockout. He's outlanded his six UFC opponents by a 364-128 margin in total strikes.
That's goofy.
In six fights, he's only been hit 128 times.
Wow.
Wild. Money Mendez moves to 9-5 in the UFC. He's suffered four of his five career losses by knockout, and his eight knockdowns landed in the featherweight division are now tied with Max Holloway for second most in divisional history behind Lil Heathen Stevens.
Ooh. Tough going for Money Mendez coming back from that USADA suspension off a great finish on who did he fight? Shit. I was trying to pull it up.
Miles Fury.
Miles Fury, Jerry, that's right. Yeah. Alexander Volkanovsky putting himself in title contention in the featherweight division.
He got the TKO via punches 4 minutes and 14 seconds into the second round.
In the next fight, Ilir Latifi going up against overtime Corey Anderson.
Yeah, this was a banger, too.
Yeah, I like this one. Corey Anderson, kind of a dark horse in the light heavyweight division.
For sure.
Ilir could probably be the same as well, even though he's been getting some flashy knockouts. I thought Ilir was going to get this fight, but Corey proved me wrong.
Yeah. I mean, Ilir Latifi just suffered his first decision loss since 2013. I mean, dude, Corey Anderson looked really good in this fight.
Very good.
In there with Ilir Latifi, took his power shots, and his striking looked really good as well.
Called out the Jones man.
Right, stopped the takedowns from Ilir Latifi, but he was called out by Alexander Gustafsson.
Yeah,
so I think that'd be a good matchup.
I like that for sure.
A comeback fight for Gustafsson and you know, Corey Anderson trying to move on up. I think that's a great matchup. So his three-fight UFC winning streak in the light heavyweight division is now tied for the third longest active streak in the division behind Jan Blachowicz and Dominic Reyes, who both have four.
Nice.
And this was the first time in any of his UFC wins that he didn't get a takedown.
Really?
So he showed he can do it standing up.
That's good. I like that. Improved striking.
Right. Absolutely great performance by Corey Anderson, possibly putting him close to title contention, maybe one or two fights before people really get serious about that.
I agree.
Yeah. Moving on to the next fight. Oh, I'm sorry. That was a unanimous decision victory, all 29-28s across the board in favor of Corey Anderson.
This next fight was a slapper, and I was so excited to see it. Carlos, the natural born killer Condit, going up against Michael Maverick Chiesa, who's making his debut in the welterweight division. He looked huge.
Yeah, definitely.
He looked big as hell, man.
Didn't see that coming in at all.
No, he like eyed up Condit, and I was like, sure. Shit.
He was bigger than Condit.
Yeah, that was nuts. And, bro, he showed. He had some strength. Condit had a couple good shots in the fight, but Chiesa using that superior ground game and ended up getting the choke.
Yeah, or he actually got a Kimura.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was a Kimura. Yeah, yeah, that was the one that went behind his back.
Yeah, but he got that 56 seconds into the second round, an absolutely great welterweight debut out of Michael Chiesa, defeating the legend, NBK, Carlos Condit.
He's a problem.
I also wanted to mention, I forgot to say, Alexander Volkanovsky and Chad Money Mendez received Performance of the Night bonuses, along with Ryan Hall, so yeah.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice. On to the next fight, the first of the champ fights. Chris Cyborg putting her belt on the line, going up against bantamweight champion Amanda Nunes.
I fucking told y'all.
You did.
Listen, stop doubting me when I call these fucking upsets, because I pick them and I choose them carefully. I told you guys Rose Namajunas was going to beat Joanna. I fucking told you that Amanda Nunes was going to come in here and beat Chris Cyborg. Oh my goodness, man.
And who was texting you during that fight, too?
Sean, because Sean was the only one watching them. Because
watching.
Slim is useless.
The real MMA fan.
Yeah, literally.
Where was my DJ at the party that I had to go to and, you know, DJ for Chance and myself? You know what? You're canceled the rest of 2019. It just started. It's going to be a long year for you, bud.
Damn.
I had to find a new DJ. It had to be myself. but I watched them. I watched them on this drunk dude's phone because he turned out random dude liked UFC 2. And I was like, cool. And yeah,
and I was like, cool. Give me your phone so I can watch these fights.
Pretty much. No, it was Eric Irk from Lot 9.
Yep. Nope.
I got to know him that night. He was trash. It was fun. But anyway, yeah, I watched them. I watched all the fights.
Cool, cool, cool. So Amanda Nunes shocking the world with her superior boxing. Everybody said, you know, be afraid of Cyborg's power. But in the first, I'd say, 10 seconds of the fight, Amanda Nunes took some of Cyborg's best shots.
Yeah.
And she realized, I can go in for the kill right now because I'm not going to get knocked out. I felt the power, and it's not what everybody said it is. And she went after it, man. And a stunning result.
Insane.
Knocked out Chris Cyborg, the most dominant woman fighter in all of women's MMA history.
Right.
Knocked her out within 1 minute, 51 seconds.
Is she the GOAT?
Amanda Nunes, when she is at the top of her game, is the best women's fighter of all time. Nobody's when she's on her game, no woman in history would be able to beat Amanda Nunes.
The featherweight division is gone off the UFC's rankings website. Whoa. Did she just end the whole division?
No.
Chris Cyborg's still on the top 15 pound for pound list. But wow.
We'll see how she defends her title next.
Well, that's the interesting thing is, you know, should she be allowed to defend both titles? Because how often has a featherweight fighter came around? And I believe it was Luke Thomas said a good point on this. You know, they have, 10 champions now or something like that?
Yeah.
And, you know, they're all on a schedule. They expect these guys to fight a certain number of times and sell the big pay-per-views and whatnot. So had they had Chris win, now you have her and Amanda that you can use to sell. Like, you can throw one over here, throw one over there. Well, now she has to figure out how to, she can do both.
Right.
For both weight classes. That's the only thing that might be tricky. They do think she should be allowed to do it,
mm-hmm.
but the thing is, she only fought, two times last year? And yeah. She pulled out with an injury and had to push the Valentina card back.
Right.
You know, the thing is if she can keep up with the schedule, go for it. But the question is, will she be able to?
Yeah, man, it's going to be really interesting to see. I honestly can't even make a prediction on who's next for her. I don't know.
What was her name? I was just looking at the rankings.
Maybe Valentina tries moving up to do a champ?
No, I think that's silly.
Yeah, she's already beaten her twice.
Who was it that was coming up through?
And I also want to mention that, think of the names that Amanda Nunes has just beaten. I mean,
right.
She beat Valentina Shevchenko twice, the champion. She beat Ronda Rousey, champion.
Right.
She beat Chris Cyborg, champion. I mean, the names that she's beaten and the way she's done it just puts her at the top. Puts her at the peak of women's MMA. She is 100%. The greatest. I'm telling you guys right now.
100%. Fuck, dude, who is this one girl? I was reading about this one girl who's like coming up and she just looked fantastic.
All right, cool, Slim.
All right, I'm sorry.
So, yeah, that was the first title fight of the night. We saw Amanda Nunes gain the featherweight title from Chris Cyborg. So many crazy things came with this. She's now the third simultaneous two-division champion in UFC history. Of course, mm-hmm. DC and the notorious Conor McGregor did right. it first. She's now the sixth fighter in UFC history to win titles in two weight classes, the others being Cormier, McGregor, St. Pierre, BJ Penn, and Randy Couture. She has 10 victories in the UFC now, which are tied with Jessica Andrade for the most by any female in UFC history.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a crazy stat right there.
Does she fight the winner of Aspen Ladd and Holly Holm?
I could see that. That's not a bad prediction right there. I like that one.
Okay.
Some more here. Her 8-fight UFC winning streak in women's MMA is now the longest in the company history. That's wild right there.
That's crazy.
It's just amazing everything she's
done. Wait, longest in like women's?
Her 8-fight UFC winning streak in women's competition is the longest in company history. Wow. She has the longest women's winning streak in UFC.
That's awesome.
She's earned 15 of her 17 career victories by stoppage. That includes 8 of her 10 UFC wins. She ended Cyborg's 21-fight unbeaten streak for her first loss since May of 2005. I was 10.
Jesus. Yeah, I was 10.
Cyborg has now lost both of her fights, or both of her losses are now by stoppage. And that's the first knockout she ever had.
So, wow, dude.
Crazy, man. Absolutely crazy stuff.
New that, goat.
That transpired in front of us. Like I said, whoever wins this fight is the greatest women's fighter of all time.
Oh, you know, I remember what happened. Watching that dude's phone, and I was up in the kitchen, and Chance was going on next. I screamed so fucking loud, I threw out my voice.
Nice.
So when, and I only did a couple songs with Chance, but I went up, I was like, really, right, my like, it's Adderall. Like, I had to literally, like, whisper into the mic. It was horrible. Ugh. It was fucking horrible. Nasty, it was horrible. But I remember cheering so loud that I was just like, oh my God. Like, everyone was looking at me in the house. I was like, fuck.
That's funny.
It's fine.
But yeah, Amanda Nunes defeated Chris Cyborg by knockout.
Crazy. 51
seconds into the first round. Which brings us to the main event, the last fight of 2018. The one that everybody was waiting for. John Jones made his comeback. And he took on Alexander Gustafsson, his hardest challenge of his career.
Big time.
And we saw why John Jones is the greatest fighter of all time. Absolutely dominated Alexander Gustafsson.
Yeah, people thought he was like holding back in the first two rounds, but I really think he was just kind of reading.
Conserving his energy.
Just,
I mean,
just finding finding his moment.
It's John Jones. He doesn't
need... Mm. He was attacking the legs.
He doesn't come out until the third and fifth round.
Right.
That's when he comes out.
He was attacking the legs, peppering him up, getting ready for the takedown, took him down, and that's all he needed in the third round.
Dude. I mean, the way he did it was just so dominant. He looked so good. He's the best. He's the number one, pound for pound, best fighter in the world.
Right.
So I think we're going to have to see him in DC fight to see who takes that title.
At heavyweight?
Yeah. I want to see it at heavyweight. Everybody else wants to see it at heavyweight. John Jones, of course, wants to fight at light heavyweight.
That'd be one of the biggest selling fights ever.
Definitely. So what ever. I think is I hope John Jones has two more at light heavyweight. DC can keep hiding or doing whatever he's doing. And then
I don't think he's hiding. I think he's waiting for Brock.
Why are you waiting for Brock?
Because
I understand the money, but...
It's money, man. Go out on top with a big paycheck.
But your legacy... Do you want to defend your legacy?
The problem is if he beats Jones and retires.
I understand
come
the,
on.
I understand or the money.
Loses against Jones and retires.
Yeah, exactly. But you can't go out just
He has already owned two. It's not like he can have two more fights and win both of them.
It doesn't matter. Even if he gets that win. He has the one as a no contest
he'll always
be able to use.
Yeah, you're right.
But, I mean, he has to. I mean, if he... In my eyes, if Daniel Cormier doesn't fight John Jones again, he's not even close to the discussion of best of all time. It's not even a question that he's not even top three. If he goes in there and he beats John Jones, that puts him right there in that conversation. But
that's iffy, man. I don't know.
I would love
to see it. I just don't think DC wants it. I don't think he wants
DC
it.
DC doesn't want it. He'll take Brock Lesnar or Stipe over John Jones right now.
For sure.
Because he's not ready. He knows. I just feel like he's running scared.
Big sketchy. Big sketch.
So.
John Jones reclaims the UFC light heavyweight belt. He did so by punches.
Yep. And that was 2 minutes and 2 seconds in the third round. Spit off some stats for you guys here. His current 15-fight UFC unbeaten streak in light heavyweight division is the longest active streak in the division and the longest in the history of the weight class. It's also the longest UFC unbeaten streak among active UFC fighters.
Wow.
His 17 victories in UFC light heavyweight competition are the most in divisional history. His 11 victories in UFC title fights are tied with Anderson Silva for third most in the company history behind GSP and Mighty Mouse Johnson. His 6 stoppage victories in UFC title fights are tied with Ronda Rousey for third most in company history behind Anderson Silva, Matt Hughes, and Demetrius Johnson.
Wow.
And then Jones' 37 takedowns landed in the light heavyweight division are fourth most in divisional history behind Corey Anderson, who has the most.
Really?
Yeah. Rashad Evans and Ryan Bader.
That's wild.
He has a total fight time of 4 hours, 25 minutes and 15 seconds. And
This one really got me.
Okay.
Alexander Gustafsson becomes the seventh fighter in UFC history to go 0-3 in championship fights. Can you name two other ones, Slim? Who went 0-3 in title fights other than Alexander Gustafsson?
Chad Mendes.
Got it.
And 0-3. Can you give me a weight? Damian Maia.
No. One is a bantamweight. One's a light heavyweight / middleweight. The other one's a light heavyweight / middleweight. The other one's a lightweight, I believe he was.
No, I'm out.
Dan Henderson.
Ah, yeah. Henderson.
Kenny Florian.
Yep, Ken Flo. I forgot about him.
Uriah Faber.
Ooh.
Pedro Rizzo.
Okay, back in the day.
And Chael Sonnen.
Damn. Yeah, he did fight three times. Shit.
Yeah, who all came up short in their three title fights.
Damn.
So, yeah, really interesting stat and some not too hot company there for Alexander Gustafsson, but I'm sure he'll be back soon, right back in the cage, man.
Right.
So that was... I wouldn't doubt it.
He's already... he's already getting called out.
Yeah.
Corey Anderson, you called him out.
Of course.
What was his name? Who we were just talking about? Fucking who's fighting him? Smith. Anthony Smith called him out. Got it. Luke Rockhold.
What? I thought we were talking about...
People who've called out Jones.
Oh, I thought we were talking about people who called out Gustafson.
No. No one's really calling Gustafson out like that. I think Vulcan might have or something like that. But anyway, Luke Rockhold had a lot to say. So I'm coming, princess. Don't worry. What do you think about him versus Jones? I like that fight.
Luke Rockhold almost got killed by Yoel Romero in his last fight.
Yeah, so, but, you know, he's cutting however much weight. He walks around like 220.
No. Let me go ahead and put that down right there. No. Luke Rockhold would get spiggity.
What was boink. SpongeBob's list? Rips pants, knocks him dead. Jokes about just death? No.
Yeah. Like, come on, man. I ain't feeling that one at all.
But I do think Corey Anderson is going to be a test for him. Dom Reyes, can't wait to see that. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to happen. Yeah, man. John Jones, back in there. Pecking at him. Oh, and his first test, or his test on fight day, came back and he passed.
Of course.
No substances at all.
Good for him.
Very interesting.
Glad that happened.
Right. Anywho, we have a fight next week. This weekend, actually. It's Sunday.
Oh, do we, Slim?
We do. The first ever ESPN fight night.
Oh, wow.
And it's got a championship title on the line.
Oh, shit. They're coming in hot.
Between the 125-pound champ, Henry Cejudo, going against the 135-pound champ, TJ Dillashaw. He is dropping down.
Oh, wow.
Some say he's going down to take out the whole division.
Oh, wow.
Leave it in shambles.
Oh, no.
Everyone's going to lose their contracts.
Oh, jeez.
They're going to have to go up and get pounded on by bigger guys.
Oh, gosh.
Or they won't, and he'll just be double champ. Who knows?
And Henry Cejudo will be the savior of all small men around the world.
The one. The only. Henry Cejudo.
Oh, wow.
Becomes Clint's idol.
So, you ready to get into it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let me go ahead and bust this out.
Yeah, big shakeup in the first fight of the night.
I actually have some breaking news because... So, there was some news earlier today that Dwight Grant was stepping in to fight Chase Recounter because... who was it?
Randy Brown pulled out.
Yeah, Randy Brown had pulled out. A couple hours ago, this coming from ESPN.com, Dwight Grant was reportedly, you know, supposed to step in on 6 days' notice to fight Chance Recounter. He was not cleared by the New York State Athletic Commission due to an eye issue. So now we have a new possible candidate to fight Chase Recounter, and it's Kyle Stewart, who has never fought in the UFC. He's actually in the Legacy Fighting Association. Apparently he's next up who might be stepping in to save this fight. Slim, as you Snapchat me, you fucking...
He's the guy.
Right.
He's the guy, huh?
Yeah.
Is he going to be the guy to win?
I don't know if that's actually going to happen, so I guess we'll kind of wait and see But yeah, absolutely crazy. Whoa. The evolving situation that we have going on there.
Right. And the very first fight of the night, I can only imagine what else is going to happen this week.
So I guess we can't really give a prediction on
it. No.
But I can tell you Chance Recounter is, he keeps his distance mm-hmm. when he's striking.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much of a grappler, but he does like to strike, kind of leaves his chin up in the air sometimes. If he was to fight Dwight Grant, I thought that was a really bad matchup for him. So we'll see what the new upcomer in Kyle Stewart can do if he does actually sign that contract and make his UFC debut.
I really didn't want to see that Randy Brown fight, though.
So we'll go ahead and call that a no contest on the prediction.
Anyway, on to the next fight then.
Staying in the welterweight division.
We had Bilal. Remember the name. Don't forget it like I just did. Muhammad going up against Jeff Neal. Hands of Steel. Oh, it's HANDZ. Hands.
Oh, cool.
Zaddy.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Just letting you know. Jeff Neal, Hands of Steel.
So Jeff Neal, who had just recently made his UFC debut at UFC 228, Woodley versus Till, where he had a... Oh, I'm sorry. That was the second fight. I'm sorry. Where he had that wild knockout head kick over Frank Camacho.
Oh, Frank the Crank.
Yeah. His first UFC fight, he had that rear naked choke over Brian Camozzi. And before that, he had actually got onto the UFC's roster by getting a contract on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series.
Nice.
His last loss was to Kevin Holland, who we've seen really shine in the UFC lately. Mm-hmm. So other than that, he's been on an absolute tear. And... gets a tough matchup with Bilal Muhammad. I mean, we've seen what he's been able to do in the UFC. His last win was actually over Chance Recounter. Before that, he had beaten Tim Means, Jordan Mean, and Randy Brown.
Yeah, he's on a 4-fight win streak right now mm-hmm. in the UFC. And he's just a dog. He's just yeah, I love absolutely. His fighting style.
Yeah, absolutely. But I can tell you he struggles versus big strikers. Alan Juban, who has really good stand-up, beat him in his very first UFC fight via unanimous decision. And then we saw that devastating knockout that Vicente Luque had over him. So with that being said, I'm really interested to see how he holds up against somebody like Jeff Neal, who has 6 knockouts, 2 submissions, and he's been known to, I mean, have really good striking. He's won his right. last
3, oh gosh, I think.
6 fights by stoppage. Okay. So... I mean, this is a really tough one to call, but I'm going to go with Jeff Neal in this one.
I'm going to do the same.
ANA MMA going with Jeff Neal in the second fight of the night. And then we move on to the lightweight division.
Ooh, this one's nice. T. Edwards getting a quick turnaround after his bad loss in his UFC debut.
Yeah.
Going up against Dennis the Menace Bermudez, who has been on an absolute tear lately, and he just moved up to the 155-pound division.
He lost his last 4 fights.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. Who am I thinking?
Joseph Benavidez, maybe?
Ooh, yeah, that's the one.
Nice,
okay,
nice.
Cool. Dennis Bermudez trying to make a career turnaround going to lightweight. I think he's already fought 34, Rick Glenn.
Oh. What's wrong
oh
with
my
dude?
God.
What's wrong with your guys' favorite podcast host?
The weed. So, T. Edwards, like I said, trying to make a big rebound. And I think he's going to get it done against Dennis Bermudez.
I'm going to go ahead and agree with you on that one. I'm going with T. Edwards to get back on track after his devastating loss to Don Mage.
Don Mage! What's going on with this Sandhagen fight?
What do you mean by that, Slim?
My app says, or my UFC app says that it's not a thing. It says Corey Sandhagen versus Corey Sandhagen, and when I click on it, it won't let me click on it.
Oh, wow. Is that what it says?
Okay. Yeah. Who's he fighting?
So that fight was originally supposed to be a bantamweight bout between Thomas Almeida and Corey Sandhagen.
Ah, that's right.
However, on December 22nd, it was announced that he would be facing John Hands of Stone Lineker.
Yep.
Who recently announced, I believe it was 3 days ago, on January 10th, that he has a rib injury and he had to pull out.
John Lineker, who I was really looking forward to see fight,
I'm upset.
Had to pull out. And I hope he gets back in there soon because he is making a just absolute tear to the title. So with that being said, Corey Sandhagen will be taking on promotional newcomer Mario Bautista.
Oh.
Yeah. Who is coming in with a perfect record of 6 wins and 0 losses. He has 2 knockouts and 3 submissions, 1 unanimous decision victory. But yeah, man, he definitely gets it done. And I think, I don't know, it's hard to call this one.
I'll take Sandhagen.
Yeah, Corey Sandhagen, who did win his first 2 UFC fights by knockout. And one was Yuri Alcantara. The other one was Austin Arnett.
Big decision from coming soon from Monty.
It's a hard one. I'm going to go with Corey Sandhagen. I'll agree with you on that one, Slim. ANA MMA going with Corey Sandhagen in this one. Moving on to the next fight.
In the 205-pound division, we have Alonzo Menifield going up against...
Oh, hold on. Those first 3 fights we talked about, Rencounter versus Grant, or whoever he's fighting, Muhammad versus Jeff Neal, and Bermudez versus T. Edwards will be featured on ESPN+. Okay, and then after that, the preliminary card will be featured on ESPN.
Don't get it. Don't get it twisted.
To ESPN, and then we're going back to ESPN+. But right now, we're talking about the ESPN fights.
Interesting. Like I said, Alonzo Menifield going up against Vinicius Castro.
His name is Vinicius Alves Moreira.
Oh,
yeah. Where'd you get Castro? I can't even find that.
It's on the UFC's website.
I can't even find that shit.
I don't even see that.
So, Alonzo Menifield, man, a lot of people are afraid of this guy. He is 205 pounds of absolute metal. He is scary, dude. He has won every single one of his fights by stoppage. His last one on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, 8 seconds.
Ooh.
The one before that, where he fought on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, his opponent suffered an eye injury, so they ended up calling that fight. But, dude, he gets it done in the first round. 38-second knockout. 22 seconds into the second round, got a knockout. Submission due to punches knockout. I mean, dude, he is a bad, bad man. Watch out for Alonzo Menifield.
Bad man.
But he's taking on a very interesting UFC newcomer. Vinicius Alves Moreira. Mamute. Who is coming out of Brasilia, the federal district in Brazil. He is 6'4", 205 pounds, and he has won his last 5 fights, and all of those are by submission.
Wow.
He gets it done by arm triangle choke, a triangle choke, rear naked choke, arm bar, key lock. So he definitely has a plethora of submissions he can go to. But, yeah, man, every single one of his fights has ended in a stoppage, just like Alonzo Menifield's. So I'm going to go ahead with the prop bet that this fight will end in a stoppage.
Ooh.
No decision in this one.
Money on it.
I'm telling you. So we have the striker, the knockout artist, going up against the submission ace. Who are you going with, Slim?
Menifield.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Alonzo Menifield.
By big punch. Yeah. On to this next fight. We got Joanne Calderwood going up against Ariane Lipski. Fellow Polak, I would assume.
Probably not. So,
you know why Polaks end their names in ski?
Why?
Because they're too dumb to spell toboggan.
Dun, 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 dun. He's Slim.
So, I had to let that one breathe a minute.
A little bit of a background on this one.
They'll get it.
So, Ariane Lipski is actually the former KSW women's flyweight champion.
Oh.
She was supposed to take on Joanne Calderwood in this one, which was going to be a really, really good fight. But that was going to happen at UFC 233. They went ahead and rescheduled that and put it on this card. So this one's going to be really interesting.
Bumped it up.
We have the former champion of KSW, Arian Lipsky, against the known badass in Joanne Calderwood, who, I mean, dude, she gets it done.
Right.
I mean, she's shown she can beat some of the best fighters in the world. So I do think she's going to drop this one, though, actually. I'm going to go with the former champion of KSW, Arian Lipsky. I watched some videos on her. I mean, she has knockout power, man. She gets it done by knockout. I mean, she puts people out cold.
I've not seen her, but I'll take your word for it.
She's won her last, is that 10? 9 fights. But yeah, dude, she's got it figured out. She's hit her prime. She's grooving right now. I think she's going to come in.
And, keep moving, grooving.
I think she's going to pull it off in her UFC debut. So who'd you pick?
Arian Lipsky.
A&A MMA going to agree on this one. We're going with Arian Lipsky. Have we agreed on all of them?
I think so, yeah.
Nice. Dude.
Bro, this Slim. Next one. Oh, my God.
Slim.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Yo, this is on the prelims. You better pay your $10, you asshole. Actually, you get a 14-day free trial.
It's on fucking ESPN. Hope you have cable.
Oh. Hope you have cable, you asshole. Buy Spectrum. Motherfucker.
Nope. Yep.
Or just leech off your mom's like I do. Anyway. Oh, Hulu Plus has that.
Oh, really?
I'm asking you.
What?
Does Hulu Plus have ESPN? Like, you can watch it like
sure,
that.
Bro.
All right, cool. He said, oh, really? Don't you have it, motherfucker? All right, so as our excitement grows, because I can't wait for this fight, Alexander the Great Hernandez going up against Cowboy Donald Cerrone. Oh, my God, he's moved back down to lightweight. What's he going to do there? You got a big test in front of him.
Yeah.
Shit.
I got to go with Alexander the Great in this one.
Oh, my God, dude. This kid just looks like you'd shoot him and it would just bounce off.
Yeah, I mean, made of steel. He's won his last 8 fights. He beat Beneil Dariush in his very first UFC fight. And then he
came back. Knockout.
Yeah, and then he came back and beat the Canadian gangster, Olivier Aubin Mercier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are in Canada. Those are two...
disrespectful.
Quality wins, dude. So he gets a tough matchup, obviously, and a legend, Donald Cerrone. They've been doing a little bit of playful trash talk, but listen, Donald Cerrone, realistically, has lost 4 of his last 6 fights. He won his last one versus Mike Perry, where he looked really good and pulled off that armbar submission.
But that was at 170. It's all changing now. He says it's time. I fought every fight. I've agreed to everything. I've fought everywhere, not even knowing who the fighter was. It's time to move for that lightweight belt, he thinks.
Well, if he beats Alexander Hernandez, he moves right back into the top 15 contention for the UFC belt.
That'd be a statement.
But I'm going with the young, really impressive prospect, Alexander Hernandez.
Same.
A&A MMA going to agree.
Same, son.
On this one, we're both going with Alexander the Great Hernandez. And as I said, this one's going to be on ESPN, okay? The early preliminary card is on ESPN Plus.
And now we're back to...
And then you go to ESPN for the preliminary card. Now we are moving back to ESPN Plus. So make sure you have it downloaded on your little fucking tablet or your fucking laptop. Get a Roku. Do whatever you have to do to watch the fights this weekend. Don't say I didn't tell you. Go ahead, Slim.
You've now been known. So, this next fight, Glover Teixeira was supposed to fight... Oh, fuck, where'd it go?
Sorry.
He was supposed to fight...
So,
Ion
Cutelaba was supposed to face former UFC light heavyweight champion, Challenger.
Challenger.
How I got you there?
Yeah.
Glover Teixeira at this event, but... Okay, go ahead. No, you're running the show. Go ahead, buddy.
Carl, Baby K. Robertson, stepping up, going up to 205.
Yeah.
Yet another... middleweight fighter going up to 205 pounds to face Glover Teixeira on, what is it, like 6 days notice now? 7?
Yeah.
Insane. This is a weird trend to me because from 185 to 205, that's 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. But you don't see it happen that much often in the lower weight classes. I agree. No one jumped up from 135 to fight at 145. No one, you know, Holloway was ready to do it, but that was a champ fight. Like, that was to save the big card. But you don't see it that often in the lower weights, and it's odd to me that these fighters are so ready to give up 20 pounds.
Definitely.
You know, but it's happening that much often, and they're looking great. So I have high hopes for Carl Robinson in this fight.
For sure. I'm going to go with him.
Same.
ANA MMA have agreed with every single fight still.
Yeah, who are you?
Wow. Starting off 2019 in each other's arms. Mm. Same mindset. I'm on your wavelength right now, Slim.
I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
We're communicating through telepathy.
Beep, boop, beep, bop, boop, beep.
No, man.
Mr. Krabs is a robot.
No, man. You're thinking of beep, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop.
Hey, the most fire song. That one, the song on there was fire. But, either the jellyfish, when SpongeBob was kicking the house party, jellyfish, yeah. That shit was super fire. But when Mr. Krabs was running the little jellyfish lab or like factory and he was riding the bike, the stationary bike, and he had the headphones on and that bitch was like, nah, 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 nah.
Oh, yeah.
It's Fitz, Fitz.
That's a deep cut.
Right. That's one thing we always talk about on this podcast. Is MMA and SpongeBob.
That's damn. I forgot about that one.
Da da da. Bing spits spits.
What the fuck?
All right.
So,
through the controversy, I can't even imagine what she's going through. Rachel Ostovich, who's recently in a domestic violence dispute, I guess, between her husband and herself.
Yeah, this fight was actually canceled on November 20th of last year because Rachel Ostovich had a broken orbital bone.
But she decided to go through it all and continue with her fight against Paige VanZant, move it back another week, I believe they did. Or was it the same?
I don't know exactly when that was.
No, it was the same, because it's first card January. She decided to continue on, not only for herself, but as a message to all women out there that domestic violence is real. You have to be aware of it, report it when it happens, and that, you know, women should just be strong women.
Yeah.
It's great. I love the message.
There was a little bit of controversy. Oh, and by the way, she did get a second opinion from her doctor, and, you know, she got the green light, so it wasn't like she was just like, oh, I'm going to do it. Like, she is medically cleared. Everything's good.
I can only see it in one eye, but let's go.
So, you know, after they, you know, that great story, oh, Rachel Ostovich is coming back, there was a lot of controversy out of the UFC because they announced that former NFL player and absolute dickface Greg Hardy would be making his UFC debut on the same event, the same card. So that had a lot of backlash. People really didn't think that was cool because Greg Hardy was, of course, found guilty. This isn't just allegedly. He was found guilty in the court of law of assaulting his ex-girlfriend, and he was sentenced to 18 months probation.
I thought he got out of that.
No. He served his 18 months probation, and he was suspended 10 games by the NFL. Got kicked out of the NFL for doing cocaine, but that's a whole other story.
Whoa.
But, yeah. Now, those charges were dropped because the victim didn't show in court, but he was found guilty. Okay? We can't ignore that. So, UFC president Dana White went ahead and said that Rachel Ostovich was totally cool with being on the same card as Greg Hardy.
And she actually didn't know anything about him.
She said she didn't even know who he was. Mm-hmm. So, good. Don't pay fucking shitty people any mind. Let that be your first lesson of 2019, people.
True. But us, you should pay us some mind.
Yeah, anyway, even though we are total shitbags.
That's fine. Rachel Ostovich, 4-4, going up against Paige 12-gauge VanZant, who is 7-4. It was odd. She posted around Christmas time that she had not been re-signed with Reebok.
Oh, really?
So does that mean she can wear whatever she wants?
No, I think she had like a personal deal. It wasn't like a UFC deal. It was like a personal.
Got you. So she's still a Reebok fighter, I guess.
Yeah, like no matter what, she has to wear the Reebok for UFC. But
she was doing like outside shit. Yeah, like
even outside.
These new Reebok kicks.
Right.
Okay, got you. All right. Anyway, this fight is going to be nuts. Both fighters coming off a loss in the last fight. Paige VanZant went through a difficult arm surgery that kept her out of most of last year. She broke her forearm in her fight with Jesse Jess.
Yeah.
And when she went to get the forearm fixed, they put a plate in there, and I guess the plate didn't take, so her arm remained broken the whole time that she was waiting for, you know, the okay to start fighting again. They had to do another surgery, put in a longer plate, and now apparently she is back to fighting shape. She's been training, she's been going hard, and she's still fighting too.
Also, a fun fact, this is going to be her first fight with her new T-Report, with her new breastises.
Who?
Paige Van Zandt.
Paige got boobs?
She got some boobies.
When? Where'd you see this?
She, in May of last year.
Are you for real?
Yeah, and a direct quote from her is, "I'm a girl and always wanted my own boobs. They never came, so I went and I bought them."
I thought they were bigger.
Yeah.
I just thought she had been like not fighting. She's a little gained a little weight. Like, cool.
Yeah, definitely. Fappy New Year.
Googled Paige Van Zandt boobs.
So yeah, dude, good for her. It's also her first fight since she's been married, so
damn.
Other than that, she is of course 1-3 in her last four fights. Before that though, she was on a four fight winning streak. She has a really tough fight here with Rachel Ostovich, even though she is 4-4 coming off a loss to Montana De La Rosa. Honestly though, Slim, I think PVZ makes a really good comeback. And I'm very surprised this isn't the co-main event.
I have to say the same.
Well thought, Slim. Good job.
I didn't want to, though.
So, we're both going with Paige Van Zandt?
Yes.
A&A MMA going with 12-gauge. Paige Van Zandt in this one.
12-gauge.
Staying in the flyweight division, just going over to the men.
Right. Going over the dicks. We got Joseph Benavidez running it back with Dustin Ortiz. I don't remember the last time they fought, but I know Benavidez won. Justin Ortiz holds the fastest knock. What did I say, Justin?
Yeah, they fought Justin back Ortiz. In 2014 on November 22nd at UFC Fight Night, Edgar versus Swanson.
Nice. Justin Ortiz holds the record for the fastest knockout in the flyweight division.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if he can do it again against tip-top
wow. Slim.
Title contender.
I mean, wow. Joseph, you are just on your own level. You and that pen.
I'm in my own zone. I'm getting used to it.
Man, this is a really hard one. I mean, this fight's going to be really good. Joseph Benavidez looked great in his last fight where he got the win over Alex Perez in the first round via punches, got the performance of the night. Lost to Sergio Pettis before that via split decision. And the fight before that, so three fights ago, when he fought Henry Cejudo, that was a split decision victory for him. He's the last one to beat Henry Cejudo.
Honestly, unless something crazy happens, I see it going for Benavidez.
I'm going to disagree. We got our first disagreement of the year, Slim. I'm going to go with Dustin Ortiz in this one. He's won his last three fights. I mean, he beat Matthias Nicolau, who's an absolute savage.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander Pantoja, who was ranked at the time.
True.
And Hector Sandoval. I mean, those are really quality wins, man.
That is true.
Ever since he lost to Brandon Moreno, he's really got back on track. So I think I'm going to go with Dustin Ortiz in this one.
Okay.
A&A MMA going to disagree. Slim thinks you should put your money on Joseph Benavidez. I'm going to disagree and say put your money on Dustin Ortiz. And, yeah, moving on to the lightweight division.
Oh, he's driving back down to lightweight?
What? That was a flyweight.
No, I mean, Yancy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is a lightweight fight right here.
Okay. Making the same move as Don Cerrone on the same card. Yancy Medeiros, who I'm surprised is not lower in the ranks, but whatever. Going up against Gregor Gillespie at lightweight. Just saying. It's going to be Gillespie.
Oh, really? Why do you think that?
Bro, he's been on a tear.
Yeah, of course.
On an absolute roll. Looks super dominant.
He's unbeaten.
Flashy. How many fights does he have now in the UFC?
Five.
One
unbeaten, all of them.
Won them all.
Only one of them went to decision.
And he's only number 15.
Right.
Crazy.
Two performance of the night bonuses. One fight of the night bonus.
The gift. Greg Gillespie. Getting this done.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Obviously, Gregor Gillespie is an absolute savage, but yo.
But other cowboy.
Yancy Medeiros comes out and he swings, bro.
For sure.
He bangs.
But this is going to be hard for both Yancy and Cowboy. Donald Cowboy. dropping down from 170 to 155, and they both got super tough tests.
Wait, who are you talking about? The other cowboy? Who else is Donald. Cowboy?
Donald Cerrone.
Yeah, but why'd you say...
Yancy Medeiros always comes out with that. Oh, that's Alex Oliveira. Oh, my bad.
That's what I thought you were doing.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. No, does that confirm? So, the Hawaiian Yancy Medeiros... The Hawaiian cowboy. Yancy Medeiros. Yeah, Gregor.
Yeah. ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Gregor Gillespie. Ooh, it's about that time. It's time for a Monty rant. It's time for a Monty rant.
Oh,
yo,
first of 2019.
What the fuck? What in the absolute hell? Why is Greg Hardy
2-0?
3-0.
Okay.
The co-main event of the evening.
Interesting.
Why? Why, when we have quality fights such as Gregor Gillespie versus Yancy Medeiros, we have Paige VanZant versus Rachel Ostovich, which was supposed to be a headliner at first, and then you go ahead and move them down to the fifth to final fight and put Greg Hardy above them? I understand you guys are trying to pitch this total piece of shit and, oh, everybody deserves a second chance. Listen, he got a second chance in the NFL and he blew that shit, so this is like his fourth chance. He's lucky he's not in jail for life for beating the shit out of some girl and putting a gun in her mouth. Just, I don't understand the thought process behind some of the things that Dana White does. Greg Hardy is a piece of shit. I hope he gets fucking destroyed in this fight. I hope Alan Crowder... mangles him, bro. I hope he fucking hits Greg Hardy. Stop, because that's what everybody does. They get a little bit scared when they feel his power a little bit. I hope he eats one of his punches and does the fucking Amanda Nunes cyborg. Oh, wow. That was nothing. It just starts yakking his shit, bro. This piece of shit does not deserve a co-main event for his very first fight in the UFC after he's been getting fed, not to be disrespectful, not up to par fighters. Listen, I hope his first test at a real fighter is a rude awakening for Greg Hardy. I am so against him. I'm so against him being the co-main event.
I would agree with what you're saying, but I do see him winning this fight.
I will never pick this fucking piece of shit. I don't care if he goes fucking 30-0. I'll still be saying I hope he loses. Fuck you, you piece of woman-beating shit. Go sniff a line. Greg Hardy for Slim. I'm going with Alan Crowder.
I didn't know him from football. I just know what you've said.
Which is he's a huge sack of shit.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway. On to the main event of the evening. The first title fight of the year. The first possibility for another champ.
Mm-hmm.
Number four. TJ Dillashaw, like I said earlier, going down to 125 to take on Henry Cejudo for the featherweight belt or flyweight belt. Sorry.
Right. So TJ Dillashaw getting a chance to become a champ.
TJ looking slim.
Yeah, wild.
Ooh, he looks. Ooh, that's a big cut.
I saw Dwayne Ludwig said that TJ Dillashaw is his life's work and that he is the greatest mixed martial artists on the planet.
Wow.
Straight stated that.
That's awesome. He has looked better since leaving Bad Boy, whatever the fuck they call themselves. Team Alpha
American
Male.
American Top Team? Or, yeah, Team Alpha Male.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting fight. Dillashaw will obviously have the height advantage, the reach advantage. Mm-hmm. Not the wrestling advantage, but his takedown defense has been really well in the UFC. So it'll be interesting to know if... He's got an 86% takedown defense. If he can stop an Olympic gold medalist after being as drained as he's been with the weight. Oh, man. I mean, I got to pick Dillashaw, though. Henry Cejudo, Olympic gold medalist. Beat the best flyweight fighter of all time by split decision.
I think there's a lot of mental behind it too, because of course people do think that Henry Cejudo is fighting for the flyweight division's
legacy, everything.
It's life. It's lifeline in general. It's
right.
It's pulse. I mean,
is going to continue in 2019.
This, fight, the flyweight division could possibly be dissolved.
Yeah, where do all the other fighters go?
Right. So, I mean, if he wins, that's going to be absolutely amazing, and then he can move up and try to be a champ himself and try to fight TJ for his title. But in regards to predictions, wow.
I just think Dillashaw's superior footwork will make the big difference. Yeah, I see TJ getting this done.
I think I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go with TJ Dillashaw on this
Nice.
One.
Two disagreeing fights.
I don't know, man. I guess we're going to have another champ. We're going to have three simultaneous champs.
Champ!
That's crazy. That's wild. Who would have ever thought? After there was only ever one person did it, and then all of a sudden now there's three at the same time, possibly?
Like, oh, look at these pay-per-view buys. Let's keep going.
Exactly. So, I don't know, man. We'll see. But A&A MMA going to agree on this one. Put your money on TJ Killashaw Dillashaw.
This is also important for each fighter to know, you know, where they stand with buy rates, because everyone's going to have to sign up for that ESPN Plus now.
Right. Yeah, so that is very, be really interesting.
Very, very important to make sure they sell this fight and do well with the app, the new UFC signing to ESPN.
Yeah. So did you see... 10 minutes ago, this is an update.
No, I didn't. I was looking at you.
Tim Burke of Bloody Elbow.
Okay.
Nate Diaz and Khabib just got a fight on.
This was this morning. Yeah. Or last night, one or the other.
So, of course, Khabib posted the video of him choking Conor and said, "You will live with this shame all your life." Bitch. I think he was saying he was going to call him a bitch or something.
Maybe.
I don't know what that was about.
You little bitch.
But after that, he had a reply in his box there of, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but Nate Diaz said, "I slapped you in your head and your team didn't do shit. Live with that. All you're all pussies." So,
classic Diaz.
Khabib comes back with
the video.
"You was hiding behind security and ran away, coward. It's clear on the video. We just smashed your team that night, you punk." Ooh. And posted a video. You can go ahead and find that online yourself. You
can't really see anything, though.
But Nate said, "Be real. You know what happened. Live with it." And then Khabib posted another video and said, "What about this?" Which I don't know.
The accent! "What about this?"
Oh, sorry.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's like a 2011 camera phone, so I can't really see it. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just funny. They started talking shit over just like Conor, really. But another thing. Apparently, Nate Diaz turned down a fight with Khabib, according to Dana White. So after that back and forth that occurred on Twitter, some people asked Dana White in a Twitter post if the fight could happen. And Dana White responded, so the tweet said, "All want to see this fight," and it's a picture of Khabib and Nate Diaz. Dana White said, "Nate turned down the fight."
Wow.
That's all he replied.
Blunt.
"Nate turned down the fight.
I'm watching American Dad."
So, yeah, apparently it's because Nate's saying he won't come back for less than $20 million. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see.
I just want to see that Conor trilogy, man.
But after that Dana White reply, Nate Diaz tweeted a picture of both of them and said, "This fucker can't stop making shit up about me, and I haven't been offered any fights except the one laughed at."
The Dustin Poirier fight?
Yeah.
Everyone I wanted that so bad. I was so looking forward to that.
Yeah, so I don't know. that's pretty funny there. Yeah. Really interesting.
How many times does either Diaz fight in 2019?
What's that?
How many times does either Diaz fight in 2019?
Give me like an over under on two.
Like what the bet would be?
Over two fights or under two fights?
Oh, under.
Under two fights for the Diaz brothers? I'm going to surprise you and say over.
Wow.
I think Nate Diaz fights twice and Nick Diaz fights once.
Whoa. His fight has been called off with Jorge Masvidal.
Right. But
who can he fight next?
Who knows, man? But I think they're going to get it done. I think once the money starts rolling in this year, we'll see how this ESPN thing's working. We'll see what they can do.
Over under, Israel Adesanya will reclaim the middleweight championship in 2019.
Reclaim it or
claim it
for
sorry.
The first time.
Claim it.
There's no over under on that. True or false?
Yeah.
I
said will claim it. So.
False.
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 You don't think so?
I think he'll lose his first fight versus Whitaker.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Damn.
And then they'll run it back and he'll win the second one.
Ooh. Who do you think Sean O'Malley fights, big name, in 2019? Let's look at the rankings.
Big fight for Sean O'Malley, if we were going to do like a...
So he's got like Peter Yan, Thomas Almeida. No,
they won't do.
Alejandro Perez, Rob Font. That'd be a cool one. Pedro Munoz.
No.
I'm just in the top 15 right now. Ronnie Yaya.
News about that, Cody Garbrandt will be coming
yeah.
back. Against Pedro Munoz at UFC 235, dude. Let's talk about that card real quick.
Cody Garbrandt is the number one contender. I don't think he should be. He lost his belt, and then he lost again by bad knockout. He should got thrown farther down the list. That's why I don't agree with these rankings. You lose twice in a row to the same guy, and you're still number one.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make sense. Anyway, what were you going
to
say?
Yeah, sorry to... hop in there on that one, but I mean, dude, listen to these fights so far announced for UFC 235.
Okay,
of course we found out that Tyron Woodley was going to be taking on Kamaru Usman.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Askren making his debut versus Robbie Lawler.
Yep,
Zabit, bro, versus Lil Heathen Stevens.
Zabit.
Oh my gosh,
bro, I cannot wait for that.
The Holly Holm versus Aspen Ladd fight.
Oh, my God.
Gina Mazzani versus last Ultimate Fighter winner, Macy Shaysan. OSP versus Misha Cirkunov.
Cannot wait.
Bro.
Wait, I thought he was fighting Dominic Reyes.
Nope.
No, he already did that.
Nope.
he already did that.
Dominic Reyes is fighting Volkan.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, dude.
Bro.
That is going to be a fun
OSP
one.
Is always fighting lately.
Oh, for sure, dude. Staying active. You have to.
Definitely.
But apparently Colby said that Tyron Woodley is going to smoke scrub Kamaru Usman at UFC 235.
I fucking told you. No.
McGregor versus Malignaggi 2019.
Ooh.
Did you see that post from Connor where he was talking about Paulie bitching?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting.
He also called out Frost Sahabi for having an opinion. And did you listen to the interview that Frost did?
Sorry, another update there. UFC 235 also got Thomas Alveda versus Marlon Vera.
Chito.
Yeah, that's going to be such a good
one. Whoa. Speaking of that fight, that's
I'm sorry, and that's John Jones and Anthony Smith. That's all that same night.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm calling off work. I got to get that one off.
What the fuck? We're buying that at the house.
We have to. Throwing a party. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Oh, my goodness. Sorry.
So, UFC on Fight Night 2 in ESPN is Rafael Sanzano versus Marlon Moraes. And in the co-main, Jose Aldo versus Renato Moicano. Apparently, Jose was offered the main card spot, but declined it. And Joe Rogan had a good point. Or was it Joe? No, it was Chael Sonnen had a good point about this, that the five-round fights really take so much more out of you, like as an athlete, mm-hmm. because you have to push that much harder, you have to fight that much longer, that those are the type of wars. Like Korean Zombie and Yair Rodriguez, they might never be the same fighters again.
Possibly.
After the beating they gave each other for 25 minutes, like, who knows, dude? But Jose apparently declined the main event spot, and everyone's like, well, why'd you let Jose decline? Daniel, I was like, listen, when Jose Aldo says he doesn't want to do this, you fucking say okay.
Right.
I was like, all right, that's fair. But it's interesting to know that he didn't want the main card slot. He just wanted to get back in there and do another fight.
Right.
I respect it, though.
It's
didn't want the pressure again. Didn't want the, you know.
It's a game of chess, man. Some people are playing chess. Some people are playing checkers.
Still, it's a firefight.
Yeah,
Jose
definitely.
Meccano.
That's going to be a fun one. That's going to be so amazing. The atmosphere in Brazil is going to be amazing that
night. And Sunset on your Morais is going to be nasty, too.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one, man. I'm really looking forward to all that.
I think Damian Maia is back on that card, too.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
It's Lyman Good.
Wow.
It's going to be wild.
Gonna be fun, dude.
For show.
But what else? You got anything else, Slim?
No.
All
right. Yeah, like I said, go check out Jeff Hughes' interview on Lousy Weather Media main show, episode 274. It was really fun. We got to see a little insight into Jeff's life as it's been since being a UFC signee, and as well as what he's been up to, because we haven't really heard from him. You know, right. He hasn't fought yet. I've been waiting.
I just watched Luis Lopez bust his shit.
Oh my god.
He thought the CD case was kind of hanging off the edge of the table, and he thought it was like a solid platform, and he just busted his shit.
Bro, he's like, oh, I tried to help him. I was like, what can I do? Oh, he just fell.
Yo, that shit is too funny.
Oh, Louise.
Yeah, shout out
for an hour and a half.
Shout out to Lousy Weather Media. Thank you, Sean, for giving us our platform to always talk our shit. Shout out to Bihu. Make sure you listen to Bihu. I'm actually going to be around Bihu a lot more nowadays, so who knows what's going to be coming out of them.
Let's keep doing episodes. Let's form a quad pod.
Ew, yeah. Nasty. That's cool. Yeah, shout out to Beta Ray Bill. Shout out to Crooks. Mm-hmm. All the associates.
Crooks coming back.
Yeah.
In ESL.
Yeah, for sure. So be on the lookout for Crooks, bro. Yeah, follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/KingMontington.
I've been running that blackout game. I'm going to be posting videos on
garbage.
There too.
Did you see me talk just trashing you in your comments that one night?
But I was playing multiplayer.
Why didn't you reply to me at all?
I couldn't see him.
So you can't see him at all?
When I was doing it, Chance was telling me what you were saying, but unless it was live, I didn't have it up on my Twitch app.
Oh,
I was
just
projecting.
Put it on your phone and look at your
chat. I was, but still.
Put it on your laptop.
The old messages never showed.
Yeah, I know. That's why you got to, as soon as you start it, I'll put my laptop up and have the little shit running, and I can just see my chat room.
Got you. But yeah, I'm going to be streaming a lot more. I've been doing really good at Blackout. Dude, I tried to
garbage when I was watching.
That was multiplayer. That wasn't Blackout. Blackout's a 1v1, not 1v1, it's fucking 1 versus 100, you can do teams or solo, whatever. But, yeah, I tried playing PUBG today. We went back to it, me, Chance, and Dylan.
Garbage?
We look like an old man playing a video game. We didn't know what to do.
Wow.
We're just picking things up wait, how do I do this again? And it was horrible. We got eaten up. I don't understand.
That new Battlefield is fire.
Ooh, I need to get that.
That BFV is fire. I've been streaming that lately, so, if you're into watching some people just getting munched on the nastiest sniping headshots, go to fucking King Mountain.
You know what I got that I haven't played yet?
What?
Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu.
I thought you were playing it. I thought you said you were playing the Pokemon game. I thought that's what you were talking
about. No, on the computer, the Pokemon Uranium, the custom-made one with all the new guys. Yeah. Sick. But Let's Go Pikachu, so it got returned to my work. It was clearance and all that shit. Dude, I got it for $5.
That's a steal. I would have did the same thing.
I should have went across the street and gave it back to GameStop.
Right.
And I don't even want to play
your $5 back.
Yeah, maybe. I don't even know if I want to play it, though, because I heard it's just Pokemon Go, capture, maneuver. It's not even about the battles. It's about the capturing. It sounds like they twisted the formula too much. But I'm still going to play it. We'll see how it goes. I love Pokemon.
I'll buy it off of you for $5 after you.
Okay. It's a deal.
So basically, you can play it for free.
Do you have Smash Bros. Yet?
Oh, bro. I already beat I'm getting close to beating the entire adventure.
Really? I haven't gone back since Dan, who doesn't have a Smash Bros., beat me with Kirby. He found a home run bat.
Kirby's one of the best characters in the game.
Yeah, but he knocked me out with the home run bat 5 times in a row.
Oh, he embarrassed you.
Embarrassed me. So I literally haven't gone back to the game. And in front of all these people, Robert, Dylan, and...
Oh, they were laughing at you?
So, yeah. Oh, so I've not touched the game. Life's been hard in 2019.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody want... I mean, you don't want those problems. Or Mario Kart. I'll literally beat anybody on
Switch. You know the areas in Mario Kart, but I'll play you in Super Smash.
We can get it in for sure. I'll definitely get down for that.
Get my work back in.
We can run squads on there too, teams.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Hell yeah. Have a party. I'll bring my Switch. We can use my controllers.
Your best local Super Smash Bros. Team.
Mm-hmm. You already know.
So, yeah, that has been episode 73. Fappy New Year. Yeah, shout out to everybody for listening. Some of I appreciate it. We will let you guys know how the card this weekend goes. We're super excited to see this whole new ESPN setup. And, yeah, man, that's all for us.
Dope. Bye, guys.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.